in those situations. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. Before we get to anything else, let's talk about Frank Reich and your thoughts on the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, first of all, Adam, sorry that I can't be on video. I don't know what's happening with my wired internet here. I even wore a visor for you today, not a hat. A
you've never looked better, Will.
Right, yeah, this is the best I've ever looked. This segment, by the way, is sponsored by angry Carolina fans who got in my mentions about the foul discrepancy in the NC State game this past weekend. Justin, Timmons, Hogan, I don't think you're in the market. You know who you are, people. Maybe Matthew Cook, although he may have been talking about the foul discrepancy at Trinity Baptist in a youth basketball game. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
At any rate, I would say that I think Frank Reich is an A-plus hire. I know that the big complaint for people is probably the fact that Steve Wilks wasn't retained after he went 5-5 as an interim head coach. He has a year prior as in Arizona where he was a head coach. And he kind of got a raw deal there. I get it, man. Look, Steve Wilks is a really good person, a really good coach.
Yeah.
The people in Charlotte love him. Like I know I have family in Charlotte that he has befriended, and like it is universally known throughout the city that he is a very, very good person. He's loved by the fan base, loved by the locker room. I don't think that should factor into deciding how we judge the Frank Reich hire, because Frank Reich, he had winning seasons 3 of 5 years, and he was fired midseason, of course, this year by Cuckoo Jim Irsay.
Yes.
With Indianapolis, he didn't have a starting quarterback, but he had different starting quarterbacks all 5 years.
Every year, yes.
It was Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. Like there was no continuity whatsoever with the quarterback there. And I had Frank Reich in my top 10 at one point head coaches. He is steady. He is smart. He is a great game planner. He is aggressive analytically, that people don't really know that.
Okay.
He likes to go for it on fourth down. The locker room loves him. He is a player's coach.
Good.
And he is a quarterback developer, even though he didn't get a chance to do it in Indianapolis because Andrew Luck retired after 1 year. I think it's an A-plus hire. I said, G4, ATW, one of these text threads I'm on. I said in November, I was like, look, David Tepper's going to take a swing for the fences and try to get Sean Payton. He's going to whiff, and he's going to, quote-unquote, settle for Dan Quinn or Frank Reich. Now, look, like, he's settling, but, like, David Tepper, like, this is like David Tepper doing what David Tepper doesn't want to do, but he's, like, doing the grown-up decision, and I applaud him for it.
Okay, I mean, doing what he, like, he wouldn't want to hire Frank?
He actually had to hire Frank Reich, okay, is what I'm saying.
Okay, like, okay, I don't know.
By the way, this could be an A++ hire if, as is rumored. Remember, when Frank Reich was the quarterback for the Panthers in 1995, the first snap through the first touchdown, you know who his defensive coordinator was?
His defensive coordinator in 1995 was Bill Belichick.
Vic Fangio.
Oh.
And the Panthers have already interviewed Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator this coming year.
I like Vic Fangio.
Fangio with that personnel on that defense.
Sure.
And Frank Reich running the offense, and you bring in Jacoby Brissett as your veteran, bridge quarterback, and then draft somebody. That is, like, you got me in on the Panthers, man.
Okay.
If Tom Brady leaves the division and the Falcons don't trade for Michael Vick 2.0, a.k.a. right-handed Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, I mean, right. Like, I'm in.
All right, look, you haven't sold me on it yet.
It's a bad idea.
No, you haven't sold me on it yet, but I'm not quite at A+. I do think that it's a good hire. I am not anti-Frank Reich. I was pro-Steve Wilks. And by the way, I elevated 5-5 to 6-6. I don't know how I got 6-6 in my head because I've just done the math. And if Matt Rhule was fired at 1-4, then there's no way Steve Wilks could have gone 6-6 because that's illegal. They played too many games at that point.
Frank Reich also fits my coaching replacement ex-girlfriend theory. where like these owners or these GMs always go in the like total opposite direction of whoever they just got rid of. Matt Rhule was the completely unproven college coach who wears khakis for 5 straight days and doesn't have a lick of offensive acumen. And Frank Reich is like the very subtle and subdued, straightforward veteran NFL coach. I like the move.
Well, okay. I'm glad you like the move. Now about getting a quarterback, a bridge quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. Chances that the Panthers trade up in the first round to get a quarterback.
I think this is a really interesting idea because, one, Scott Fitterer loves to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he mostly likes to trade back.
Right.
But the, I believe, number 5 pick, because Arizona's 3, Indy's 4, Seattle is at 5. Scott Fitterer came from Seattle. You know who likes to really trade back? John Schneider in Seattle.
Right.
You know who would definitely like to trade back and get more picks because they already have their quarterback in theory?
Yes.
Arizona. Do you know what would be really funny? If Frank Reich and Jacoby Brissett leapfrogged and Scott Fitterer leapfrogged the Colts and Jim Irsay and Jeff Saturday, who they're definitely hiring, by the way.
They're going to hire Jeff Saturday.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Sadly. Yeah, I know. I think 3 and 5 are very good landing spots for the Panthers if they want to trade off. Now, it's also possible that they say, we're going to go Jacoby and we're going to sit at 9 and see if somebody falls to us. Like if CJ Stroud could get down there,
you
sort of wait and play that game and be like, worst case scenario, we go to 2023 knowing that we're going to try and win games with a competent coach and hopefully, worst case scenario, we have a high draft pick again. We get a Drake May, a Caleb Williams. I mean, I don't think they will be hyper aggressive about trading up, but I say that knowing that David Tepper is prone to bizarre mistakes.
Yes. Look, I don't know if it would be a mistake. I just know that drafting a quarterback in the first round, especially since there are no slam dunks here, like if you were drafting Andrew Luck, then it would be one thing. If you were drafting, Joe Burrow, it would be one thing.
Last week, I believe, you can go, like, not you, but anyone who wants to listen to it can go hear Brady Quinn on the Pick Six podcast talking about it. He put Bryce Young ahead of Trevor Lawrence behind Joe Burrow in terms of his pre-draft grades.
Uh-huh.
Which is insanely high. Like, I have not heard anyone else do that. And Brady, I believe Brady's quote was, when I'm feeling down, I just go and watch Bryce Young tape.
Oh, wow. That's makes you feel some type of way. Good for I'm glad that Brady feels that way about quarterbacks. I actually think that Bryce Young is the best quarterback. My fear about Bryce Young is that he's too small and will get broken. That really is my only reservation about Bryce Young, is that he's just going to break.
There's a quarterback from Raleigh or Madison, wherever you want to pin him from, who, did okay in Seattle.
Right, but he wasn't, he was not small. He was short, but he was not small. Bryce Young is both.
Yeah, but Russell was really good at avoiding hits. And I think Bryce is pretty good about that too. I mean, that's the whole thing, man. You can be Josh Allen or Carson Wentz or Cam Newton. If you don't know if you don't know what kind of hits you have to avoid, you're not going to stay healthy in the NFL. I mean, that's the bottom line. And Russell is definitely thicker than Bryce Young, for sure. No doubt about it. But Russ has always been good about avoiding contact. And Tom Brady was good at it. Peyton Manning was good at it. Like, you would see Peyton just drop out of nowhere. Like, even when he was 5 years in the NFL, he'd just drop in the middle of the pocket rather than take a big sack. I mean, that's just smart, intelligent quarterback. Now, I'm not saying Bryce Young will do that. I'm just, I think it's, I don't know that it's necessarily about your size and stature so much as it is about your football intelligence.
And Bryce Young has it. I just don't think he certainly won't be there at 9. You're going to have to trade up to get him.
No chance he'll be there.
And I don't think CJ Stroud will be there at 9 too. I think most people believe that at 9 you're going to be looking at more than likely Anthony Richardson of Florida, who a lot of people think has incredible raw ability, but obviously has not put consistent performances on tape at the University of Florida. But we do have two very important football games because We won't know who's in the Super Bowl until we watch these two football games coming up on Sunday night. And the first game is in Philadelphia. It's the 49ers and the Eagles. Will Brinson is back with us, Pick Six podcast moderator, CBSSports.com, NFL, senior NFL writer. All right, let's get to it. Doesn't write anymore,
yeah, whatever,
which is great.
Whatever works.
Yeah. Brock Purdy didn't play well, I thought, against Dallas. How good does he have to play for the 49ers to win this game in Philly?
I don't know if it's about Brock Purdy so much. I think this game hinges on Nick Sirianni, honestly, and what the Eagles' offensive game plan will be coming out of the gates. And I said this last week about the Bills and the Bengals, right?
Right.
The Bengals needed to come out and throw early and throw often and get the ball out of Joe Burrow's hand quickly and force the Bills to really, because, you know, they were missing no Von Miller, young pass rushers. Force them on their heels defensively. You're in the snow.
Right.
You just get your guys open. And it, like, the Eagles also have to do the same thing, basically. And we've seen them, and this is kind of interesting because we've seen them do it twice against the Steelers and the Titans this year. The Eagles did not run their basic offense, or their convoluted, read option offense that features Jalen Hurts pounding the ball down low and Miles Sanders on these, you know, just plays that make the linebackers and the secondary just deal with all kinds of, you know, like the eye candy and stuff, right?
Right.
Instead, what they did was just let Jalen Hurts wing it early. And if you look at the Niners, and it's tough because both the Niners and the Eagles really haven't played anybody when you start diving into their schedules.
Right.
But the Niners' run defense, their front seven is so much better than their back end. And if Nick Sirianni comes out and lets Jalen Hurts throw it downfield against with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, you got Dallas Goedert eating over the middle, and the running backs, you know, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell can catch it too. Like, this is where you force the 49ers' hand and you make Brock Purdy become the catalyst for their offense, as opposed to, you know, letting their defense operate and then Brock Purdy just makes the easy throws and does the Kyle Shanahan stuff. If the Eagles do that, this could be a runaway train for Philadelphia. Like really ugly, where Philly wins by 17 plus. If they try to pound the ball into the 49ers front seven and they don't let Jalen Hurts attack early, then you really give the offense over. Like you let Kyle Shanahan become offensive, right? And mm-hmm. that allows him to do what he wants to do, where you have guys running wide open across the middle. Eagles are pretty good about stopping those, but you don't want to let Kyle Shanahan get his game scripts going. You want him to become defensive with his offense. And then that sounds weird, but if the Eagles attack vertically with their passing game, it could get ugly. If they don't, I think the 49ers win.
All right. Let's. We have about a minute and a half here. Cincinnati is at Kansas City. I think the Bengals have been the best team the last 6-7 weeks. I don't know what version of Patrick Mahomes we're going to get on a high ankle sprain, unless it's not a high ankle sprain, which what they said it was. How do you see that?
Is Sunday still in the month of January?
It is.
Oh, that's weird because Joe Burrow doesn't lose in January, Adam. He just doesn't. He's never lost in January, and that's not like the Trevor Lawrence doesn't lose on Saturday, silly stat. This
right.
is like Joe Burrow, like he's ice cold, man. He doesn't lose in January. He shows up and plays big. And look, this is gonna be a close game. It's gonna be a fun game. It's on CBS. You can stream it on Paramount Plus too. But Mahomes is gimpy. I think they're making a show of it to make everyone think he's healthy. He's not. The Chiefs have lived over the last 5 years on Mahomes making plays on third down, either extending it out outside the pocket or running with his legs to pick up the first down. He won't be able to do that this week. I think the Bengals win by 7 points.
Bengals and who you got? Is it 49ers or Eagles? Who you
Bengals
got?
And Eagles. Bengals and Eagles. But I my heart kind of wants the 49ers.
All right, yeah, I'm the same way.
My wallet and head want the Eagles.
I like the Eagles in the game, but I want the 49ers to be in the Super Bowl. It would be plus my wife's a 49ers fan, so I'll just go.
First rookie quarterback to ever start a Super Bowl game, too. By the way, right? Pretty does.
Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. That would be phenomenal. I'll bet there's an interview with him.